As this is Thanksgiving Sunday, the scripture reading from Colossians is in keeping with this season. Here is what Paul says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all his people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true word of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, for you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. November 7th, 2013, 3:25 p.m. The Phoenix Airport. My cell phone rings out announcing our flight to Columbus has been delayed some 3 hours. After asking around, I discover that the flight originating in Denver had been in the air only 10 minutes when it was diverted back to Denver in order to secure help for an ailing passenger who had apparently experienced a cardiac arrest. My initial response to this unexpected event was negative. 3 more hours in this extremely busy and very crowded airport, I fumed to myself. Just what I need. Thank you very much. Jeff and Martha Hall, who were to pick us up at the Columbus airport at what already would have been a not very convenient late night hour, would now be required to be awake and alert long after their self-imposed midnight curfew. Not a nice thing to do to good friends, I grumbled. After deliberating thusly for about 10 minutes, I suddenly reversed my emotions. My inconvenience, my anxiety, my frustration now became gratitude and thanksgiving for a pilot, crew, and airlines who had their priorities straight. I don't know what became of this passenger. I don't know if he or she survived or died, had family, friends, a spouse, children, or grandchildren. I don't know if this person had others who loved him or her, or if he or she was all alone in the world. None of that matters, perhaps. But what does matter is that someone cared enough for and about this person in his or her hour of need to stop and give help. Gratitude, appreciation, thanksgiving, an endearment that is positive and uplifting. As Thanksgiving 2013 fast approaches, for what things are you and I grateful? When it comes to giving thanks, it seems to me that we can be on one of two sides. We can be positive or negative. We can look with appreciation on each day's happenings, or we can fret, moan, and complain regarding the day's events. We all know folks who are sour, disillusioned, unhappy, and contrary when they survey each day. For such individuals, life is miserable, untenable, frustrating, full of the bad that can happen. This is the seat of despair and hopelessness. Can thanksgiving come from such perspective? Likewise, we are acquainted with those who are pleasant, joyful, mild-mannered, accepting, and appreciative for each day. That doesn't mean that things are always hunky-dory for them. It's simply that they consciously choose to see and to express the good in themselves, in others, and on the course where life takes them. God is not only present for the positive thinking individual, God is also good, no matter what happens in life. The point regarding the idea of living life with an attitude of gratitude is driven home by the Apostle Paul as he communicates with those faithful believers in Christ who were living in Colossae in the first century. He himself had already, in his short time as a Christian convert, been beaten, imprisoned, starved, mocked, ridiculed, and discredited by those he hoped to convert to the way of Christ. Did these events, these personal roadblocks, stop Paul? Did they deter his determinism to spread the good news of Jesus to any and to all who would listen? No. In the midst of Paul's life of ongoing persecution and abuse at the hands of others, his resolve was solid and unwavering. He did not ask for this thorn to be taken from me. He did not say to God, "Get me out of here." No. Instead, he prayed to God for strength and preparation for the difficulties of the days ahead, knowing that one day, his life would be sacrificed for the faith he published for our Lord Jesus Christ. In a few days, we will celebrate Thanksgiving. Some of us may do so in the confines of our own homes, with family and friends present, or perhaps in some cases, alone by ourselves, with or without choice. Nancy and I will be traveling to Pittsburgh to spend time with her sister and brother-in-law, and our children and their children, who will be in and out throughout the week. As we sit around table and TV alike, what will be our mood? In what disposition will we find ourselves, knowing that our minds are already racing toward Christmas and the preparations that we must make for festive houses, gifts, cards, and perhaps the unexpected? Well, for one thing this year, we will have to cope with the addition of Brown Thursday to the ongoing popularity of Black Friday. Brown Thursday, if you have not yet heard the term, refers to the fact that many retailers will now open their doors early in the day on Thanksgiving to welcome into their sanctuaries the hopeful hordes of patrons who will purchase their merchandise. Ain't America a great place in which to live? Yes, as we sit at table this Thanksgiving, we will receive, I hope, not only the physical nourishment provided for us by turkey, stuffing, pumpkin pie, and more, but also the spiritual nourishment that St. Paul encouraged for the faithful followers of Jesus in the first century AD. That nourishment consists of these ingredients. First, that we might be made strong, not strong physically in bone and flesh, but strong spiritually in our inward resolve to love and serve not self, but God in Christ Jesus and others we meet along the path of life. Second, that we might endure everything with patience. Patience. What a foreign word that is to us moderns. In what are we patient? With what and with whom are we patient today? In a society that wants and demands everything now. Third, that we might with joy give thanks to God for everything. Yes, for everything, good and bad alike. You see, God has already made us fit to receive our share of what God has reserved for God's people. God has us all in mind. God has not stored up evil for us. God has not wished us to be citizens of hell, but citizens of heaven. How then can we lose? Though this present world might present hazards and roadblocks to us, though some weeks and months and even years might find us struggling and having trouble coping with things, yet, here is what God has already done for us in this present world before we ever inherit the world to come. God has rescued us from darkness. The powers of darkness cannot touch us. The evil one cannot penetrate us. He or she might taunt us, harass us, harrow us. But evil and the evil one cannot overcome the power of the light of Jesus Christ, which shines here and now, even in our darkened world. Through faith, through trust, through the belief we have in the Eternal One, we are already now rescued from the darkness of sin and evil. God has also brought us safe into the kingdom of God. Where is it that you and I feel safe in this world and life anymore? Where is our security? In a structure that can be blown apart in a tornadic moment? In an investment portfolio that can be shattered by Wall Street? In other people who befriend us one day and desert us the next? It is the kingdom of God and God's kingdom alone in which we are safe, both now and into eternity as well. God in Christ has set us free. Our sins are forgiven. On rare occasion, a person's indebtedness to others might be paid or dismissed. At times, the bad or the wrong that we do to others might be at least verbally dismissed. But the wrong that we do toward God by our attitude of pride or deceit or through a lack of worship, which can only be forgiven by God, is indeed forgiven by God in Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Today, here and now, in this church sanctuary, in this place of worship, you and I are set free from all the wrongs that we have done and all the wrongs we will ever do in the future yet to come. God in the flesh of Jesus has done it all. I find that to be good news. I find that to be extraordinary news. Having said that, having just affirmed what it is that God has given to us, eternity and nothing less, what is our response? What is our approach, our demeanor, our mindset relative to God's great love and freeing gift? Well, to be certain, life does not always dole out sunshine. Our lives can at times be cloudy, rainy, even turbulent and stormy. The rainbow does not always land on our front porch. Sometimes we develop an attitude. You know what I mean. We stiffen our backs, we narrow our view, we prepare our defense, we gather our weapons. We rush in to destroy those who oppose us. What a waste of the love and the care and the kindness that God bequeaths. St. Paul, a servant of the Most High God in Christ Jesus, proposes instead the demeanor of goodness, the posture of love, the attitude of gratitude in our lives for all and through all and in all that we are given in this present world. So, at this Thanksgiving season and on this upcoming Thanksgiving Day, let us all take inventory of ourselves. Let us make a list of those things and those folk for which we are truly thankful. Then let us compare that list with any leftover list that we might be carrying around within us that is a list of attitude, those negative things that seek to destroy our very souls. And when we are done, may the outcome be heavy on the side of giving God thanks for that which God has blessed us richly each day, the hope and the promise of salvation and eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.